This yes. week is Doctor Week right here on Rick Smiley Morning Show. And we, man, fellas, we got us a OBGYN.
I'm not fixing to let you act silly. I can tell what direction you're already trying to go into.
Man, this is my hero.
Associate Professor Dr. John Liu. Let's welcome him to the Ricky Smiley Morning Show.
Thank you.
It's day two of Doctor Week. And, of course, your specialty is OBGYN. So tons of questions here, I'm sure. And if women, if you guys have any questions, you can hit us up. 1-866-9-R-I-C-K-E-Y. Okay, so let's just jump into this. As far as pap smears are concerned, you were kind of telling me that there are new changes in guidelines.
Yeah, the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology has changed the guidelines so that now you can actually get a pap smear every 3 years. Also, these are for people who have normal pap smears. They found no abnormality. They also recommend that you start at age 21. A lot of moms come in and say, when's the first time I get my daughter pap smear? When's the first time she goes to OBGYN? 21 years old is the guideline now.
Doc, I must say, I think that's too late.
Right.
I mean, especially when young girls are now, of course, these aren't your guidelines,
right,
of course.
Right, exactly. These aren't mine.
I
would have liked to do them earlier because I've diagnosed lots of patients with earlier, but these are guidelines. And when they look at these guidelines, they're looking at the overall population, so they may miss some, and I guess that's supposedly acceptable. But, you know, the overall guidelines are that the age of 21 is when you start, and then the reason why is the human papilloma virus,
HPV,
is a slow-growing virus. So for it to turn into cancer, it takes 5 to 10 years. And also that it's not all forms of HPV cause cancer.
Okay.
And so that's what they look at. And then for women over the age of 30, they recommend that you can go ahead and do those patients every 3 to 5 years.
So what if you are, okay, because you're saying now that the guidelines are saying that we should come in and y'all look under the hood once every 3 years. But what if you're very sexually active? You know what
now,
I'm saying?
The thing about that is that if you still have to go every year because there are other exams you do. You know, vaginal discharge, yeast.
I don't know nothing about that.
So those type of things.
Ricky?
I don't know. I was going to ask, I mean, can you go online and take a class to be an OBGYN? I mean.
No.
You have to go to college for that.
One of the popular questions people always ask, oh, that's the greatest job, man. You're an OBGYN. Yeah. Every guy asks that job. No, there's nobody dancing on tables. Every woman that comes in has a problem
and they want you to fix it.
And they're not happy. So no one's smiling when they come in the office. The only reason they're coming in.
They ain't happy.
No, that's right. They are mad and I got to deal with it.
What is it like dating an OBGYN? That would be paired. Be like, ooh, well, I don't want him to see that.
Yeah, at the end of the night, you don't want none. That's what you've been looking at all day.
So let's see. What are some other questions here? People have tweeted some things. So is it true that you can determine the sex of a baby by the bedroom positions?
The bedroom position,
or like the way your sexual positions, because
you really can't determine that. It's more to do with the timing of coitus, meaning sex. It's when there's a transition that the sperm and the egg has, and the closer you are to ovulation, the greater the chance of you getting a girl. The further away from ovulation, the greater the chance that you get a boy.
Oh. Man, I always hit further away from my
man. Somebody said, what happened with Gary? It was somewhere in between them days. So hit us up with your questions. We got Dr. John Lula. You, auntie.